It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. Hey, let's. So today is Tuesday, the 22nd, I think. Isn't it
22nd? Yeah, it is. Oh, 22nd, my goodness.
2022. Wow.
2022.
I know. Ron Foreman is with us. Brady Wright here. Steve Johann, our producer. We also have a guest in the studio whom we will talk about mere moments from now. This is the 154th show that we have sat here through. Where the heck are we? We don't know. We are on iTunes is where we are, and iHeartRadio and Podcast or Podomatic and Spotify and a bunch of others. Steve Keats finding new places that are propagating the show.
Yes.
I think he's making them up. I've never heard of Player FM, but we're on Player FM.
Wow.
How about that?
What's the old song? The smoker you drink, the player you get, or something like that?
Joe Walsh
yeah.
reference. Wow.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for liking and following our Facebook page. And for all the latest shows, of course, you can go to our website. Hey, by the way, on the Facebook page, on the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page, there is now a survey, which we would like you, if you go onto the page, to take a moment and fill out. We're always trying to find out stuff that makes people happy that we'd like to do and we'd like to do more of or less of. You know, if you like Brady, you shut up and let everybody else talk. That's okay, too. but go to the Facebook page. It's there. You can send us a response on email, copy and paste, and do all that. We'd appreciate getting your input. As usual, our first segment is Back to the Blacktop. Steve has spared no expense flying all around the world, first class, to get things from the horse's mouth and the other end of the horse, too. What do you got today?
Well, first up, I got some information from Amazon Music has launched their podcast service.
Oh.
So we are
place we have
now
to be?
On.
Oh, we're on there now?
Yes,
like,
I have not checked
one.
It.
We are number
well,
one.
Well, go there and make sure we're number one, but I got a notice that we've been accepted, so I have yet to go in there and check it out. But anyway, that's big news for us.
They've accepted us.
Yes, they did. And then under the title, How Do You Plan for a Large Event While Living Under a Forced Medical Martial Law?
Wait, let me ask. How do you... Never mind.
Well, you continue to postpone your events.
Of course you do.
Until late 2021.
Yeah,
and that's what the North American International Auto Show for 2021 is going to be projected originally in June.
Right.
But now they've moved it up to September in what organizers are calling a reimagined indoor-outdoor show. Now, they're imagining they're going to be able to do it. I think that's the imagination going on there.
You know how bad it gets when it comes to imagining?
Well, reality is the SEMA's closed. My buddy got back in the mail. It's
yeah.
not going to happen.
Nope.
You know what else they canceled? I just heard this today on the news. Now, we come from Seattle, and there are things going on all across the country that are different. But here, they've already, get this, they have already planned to cancel spring break next year.
Yes.
In Florida or here?
Here.
Wow. Like,
well, and they're going to roll out the vaccines sometime in July or January or whatever. But anyway, the bottom line is they are shooting way out for 2020. The bottom line, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody has a clue.
We're making it up.
We are making it up only because they're making it up. So,
right.
But there are some really cool things going on, so keep your eyes open and your ears open.
All right.
Ongoing Nikola news, as we talked about a while back, I think last week or a week before, about them getting a big partnership with GM, $2 billion.
Threw
with
money
a person. Yep. Well, now Nikola's founder and chairman Trevor Milton resigned under pressure as the hydrogen and battery would-be truck maker comes under federal probe for alleged fraud. But now here's the backstory.
It gets better. What?
The chaos surrounding Nikola was triggered by a harsh report from short seller Hindenburg Research titled How to Parlay an Ocean of Lies into Partnership with the Largest Auto OEM in America.
And we all know what happened to the Hindenburg.
And that is where you have to take a cue from history and realize, did they not choose this name on purpose? Their whole purpose of a short selling, they're a short selling options company. is to destroy companies' reputations so they can short sell them.
Yep.
But no one seems to be talking about that side of the story. Bottom line, Trevor is out of, he has resigned. He probably still has many shares.
He picked up his marbles and ran.
Yes, he did. And the company itself is saying, basically, we still support him, blah, blah, blah. And they continue to denounce the claims of Hindenburg of as false allegations. So we will see.
This is getting muddier and muddier.
It is. It's like, wow. To be honest, it's one of the only few stories that keeps giving every week because there's not a lot of going on.
Like a lead balloon. Did you just say over like a lead balloon? You
yes.
Did.
Led Zeppelin.
Well, that is how they got their name. Was it Keith Moon who said that name will go over like the lead balloon? So
Led Zeppelin.
Anyway, interesting
Shuddy Stows. What?
Gosh, Shuddy Stows. Sounds like a name.
I think we broke Steve.
Interesting study shows that car with the most likely to get a speeding ticket. Now, these are new cars. Guess who came in on top?
Most likely to get a speeding
ticket.
Yes. Tesla?
Nope.
Oh. See, the cops got to notice you.
These are actually true speeding tickets by manufacturer, by styling.
Right.
Subaru WRX is the number one car to get tickets.
I can kind of see it because it's one of those little squatty hummingbird cars
that
like to zip around in. I can see that.
Volkswagen GTI is the next one.
A red one.
Subaru Impreza is the next. Infiniti G37. And then Dodge Dart, of all things. Dodge Dart. Where did that come from?
I can't hear Dodge Dart and not think of, you
know. Who did this survey?
The 70s.
No, this is done by an actual survey company. And they went in there. But the interesting thing is, they just paved a big major thoroughfare right by our house. And then they actually ramped up and smoothed over and made a four-way stop that was supposed to be in its lights at 36th and Maple.
Right.
Now it is a racetrack. So when it is green, people are coming literally up the hill. They see it's green, and they are slicing across on our street, and they are not going – they're 50, 60 miles an hour.
Wow.
And these are all pipes.
Sure.
And my neighbor come over one day, and he's just livid.
Does anybody still use boom cans? I remember those.
I think you should get a paint gun.
Ooh.
Ba-ba-ba-ba, as they're going.
I want to tell my neighbor that. He will like that idea because he's already called up the police.
Paintball
we called the police.
I like it.
And it used to be formerly across the street was a speed patrol, you know, a ticket patrol place where they would, what do you call that? Speed trap.
A speed trap.
They haven't been there for the whole for
they
months.
They don't want their cars to get dusty while they're constructing the road.
And now this is the perfect time, and they have yet to be there. And I'm like,
well,
you could be nailing them up. Well, we have.
And, right. They defunded the police. That's okay.
That's right. So anyway, those are the fastest cars.
Get myself a paint gun and then start shooting.
You know, I mean, it's just amazing.
It's the guy with the purple paint on the side of his car.
Don't think I haven't thought about things like that.
Me.
Tailgate wars may be heating up once again as we see General Motors now making the multiplex tailgate previously only available on the GMC Sierra.
Oh, is this the tailgate that folds up into six different
things? Do a step.
Haven't you seen
it
this?
It extends.
Not the six different.
It has, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
they've been advertising.
It folds down, then it's got a step, and then it's got a deal that folds out that becomes an extra ramp. There's a cooler in there. There's space for 16 AR-15s, rifles and stuff.
Because
it
drops down for a step. I haven't seen the rest.
No, it's a six. Yeah, it drops down as a step. Anyway, they're now making it ready for available for their Silverado in 2021. And this got me to thinking that tailgate. If you look at a lot of guys with trucks, they remove the tailgate. They throw a big net back there. They throw the extender back there. Mm-hmm. And they do all these things to extend. And I'm like, you know, my van take out both seats. I can put a 4x8 piece of plywood. But you got to put an extender on a freaking pickup truck to put a 4x8 piece of plywood.
In the short bed.
Because they all do. Yeah. But why buy a short bed if you're going to use it for carrying things?
Well, you're not. Well, you buy a short bed because it's cool. Then you decide you want to carry stuff, and you realize
then
you
add all the accoutrements and you kind of remove the cool factor because you got all these things hanging off of it. But I digress. It's interesting.
No,
it is.
You
yes. Well, we can do that on the show.
We can. It's part of our part of our mandate. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we got, well, we were going to have a couple of guys, but now we have a guy named Bum who actually owns a brand new upholstery shop in South Snohomish County right near us. We will talk to him next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
This is Mario Andretti, and you are listening to the Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Stay tuned.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Hi, Ron Foreman here, president and founder of the Rat Bastards Car Club. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half, the Windshield View, and this week we have a guest.
We do.
From Custom Fit Guys. We have half of them here. He's right. From South Snohomish County, Washington. Right. Welcome, Bum Whitson.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we even got your logo right there.
Yeah, look at this.
He was kind enough
Bum
to
brought
bring
in
some
shirts. Custom fit upholstery right here. And they possibly.
Does it custom
best
fit? You, and it fits
it's
you
custom
like a custom
fit.
Slip.
Exactly.
Of
course
T-shirt.
It's custom
I like
fit.
It.
I'm telling
exactly.
You. We're going to do this. We're going to do it right. Yeah. So I got to tell the story of how I met Bum. I'm driving.
No kidding.
I'm going to.
I don't know
no kidding. I really. I drive by his business every day on my way home from work. And I drove by, and here in the construct stages is this really cool black and white checkerboarded kind of, you know, retro looking thing that's coming up here. And I can see it's going to be a business. I can see it's going to be cool. The sign then, the lettering and the font that he chose, great looking, Custom Fit. And I said, Custom Fit? What could that be? Well, it's not open yet. So I'm going, what? I got to wait, you know. So finally, one day comes by, and they're open. So I scream into the parking lot and go out, what is this? It's an upholstery shop, but we do more. So he's like, who the heck is this guy come rolling into my place? Like, is he going to buy money? Is he going to, you know, business with me or something? Well, kind of. So first off, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And second, tell us what it is you do, because it says Custom Fit Upholstery, but you do a bunch more stuff.
Oh, yeah. We do window tint. We do stereo install and paintless dent repair, quite a bit.
Paintless dent repair is cool. Ron and I were working on my wife has a 51 Hudson, and right. We were working on it last. I should say Ron was working on it because my hands
we were on it.
Won't work. Yeah, pounding a dent out, but it's not going to be paintless. It's going to be it's going to be paint and Bondo and a bunch of other stuff.
It's paintless. No, it's just rust.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of a compound dent.
It's just rusty.
Talk to me about paintless dent repair. I mean, I'm thinking that's one of those pressure in, pressure out kind of deals, but is there more to it?
Oh, no. My guy, he actually
the little rods and starts tapping
the
on
rods
it.
And the spoons and everything else and goes behind it and then nice. he'll press them out. And he even does, you know, when it's like in a crease,
mm-hmm.
he take it out. You cannot tell.
That is an art form.
It is.
Well, I've used suction cup on a dent that I had on my truck. Which
yeah.
is, you know.
Yeah. I actually went out and bought one of those things, but, of course, the dent that we were working on is
no.
too involved.
They don't make a, don't make a suction cup that big. For
no.
I had a friend have somebody come to his house and do this on his car, yep. and it just pulled the thing right out, and you could hardly even tell that there was anything there.
Yeah. It cool. saves a lot of money.
So if you have, I mean, you obviously paintless dent repair is a thing. You talked about stereo stuff, and that's one of the things that we didn't talk about when I was up at your shop. Mm. But give me that. Is that all custom stuff? Is it factory repair? I mean, walk us through that.
It's basically just, it's all custom. It's we just put one in a speedboat, and it came out, you know, just what the guy wanted. I mean, my guys that put that in, and you know, they know way more than I do about it.
You do motorcycles too?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you do speedboats, then you're using those marine, you know, components because they got to be water sealed.
Absolutely.
Same
Absolutely.
Thing with motorcycles. Yep. I bought a custom fairing for my Harley some years ago, and the guy says, stereo, of course, got to have, you know, music while I'm riding. Well, yeah. it was, you know, 200-watt Jensen marine, you know, head unit. Plus, the speakers were all, you know, sealed and everything like that. And it didn't occur to me until, I mean, obviously, it should be obvious you're out in the weather.
Well, as much as we drive my hot rod in the weather, you should probably get
Ron, stereo in my Ron has the coolest
yes,
hot rod on the planet, but there's no roof.
No so, fenders.
Yeah, well, there's sort of a roof. Depends if you feel like spider webs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it. I mean, if you're going to have sound in there or anything else you're going to have in there, it better be waterproof for sure.
Yeah.
So what? So walk me through. If I come in, for example, now I'm building a rat rod truck, and it's a 40 Chevy cab. There's not a lot of room in those things, but I kind of like to have some music.
Mm-hmm.
So where I don't have any idea where I would put it. Although I mean, there's a little room behind the dash, but not for the you know the size of stuff.
Yeah.
What kind of things would you ask about, or what do you what? How does an install like that work?
It's basically all custom. I mean, we have to see it. We can build boxes. We can hide them pretty good, you know. But basically, it's my stereo guys. You know, they're amazing, and they do it correct.
If you look at my son's got a Mazda pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
Now it happens to be the King Cab version, the B2600.
Sure.
But it's got the normal vinyl paneling that you know how mm-hmm. how all cars are wrapped, and they've built in the back space for a couple
sure.
mid-sized speakers. So I pulled all that off, put brand new speakers in there, mm-hmm. did the same thing with the front, and then he inherited his brother's boom box thumper in the center. So we dropped that in the center between both chairs. And you know, he's got a little switch there, so it goes on and off. But it works great.
Yeah.
When I drive it, I typically don't have the boom box going, and it's plenty loud for me.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of room. So, Brady, if you're going to put actually any kind of interior work, which if you're going to do that, it would allow him to come in and do the upholstery. And I suspect you would build your own framework behind the upholstery if there's no
absolutely
so talk us kind of through that, because before we get to the stereo, how do you build custom built upholstery where there is no framework, where there is no normal standard thing?
Basically, I start with a thing called chipboard, and I basically build it out of chipboard, and I mean down to the you know the spacers, the cross members, everything out of chipboard. And then once I have it where I want it, I'll take it apart. And I'll cut it out of whatever we're using, whatever, you know, ABS plastic or wood, or you know, depending on the you know the application and the job, and then put it back together.
Okay, so you build a model,
mm-hmm.
a mold.
Yep.
Then you take your plastic or your wood or whatever it is, and then you create that around it, and then you put the upholstery over the top.
Correct.
Now you have a place for the speakers behind it.
Right.
And whatever else.
We've got to make our own space, yeah.
This is not going to be technical, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Yeah.
You go to the stereo stores and, you know, video only and those guys, and you see the Bluetooth speaker bars and stuff that you can get for your TV. I envision something like that, because the space, you know, when a space is at a premium, you can't really make a great big box, obviously, because there's no place. Then there wouldn't be any place for me to sit. But do you ever use components like that and then, you know, make a cabinetry for them? Or is that not work in a car? I don't know.
No, we've never done anything like that. Basically, like I said, my guys are, you know, they're the experts on that.
Yeah.
I give them the space, and I cover up what they give me.
Use fiberglass and
absolutely.
Things like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so go ahead.
No, that's all right. Okay.
Well, so you were telling us off air, I asked you, how did you get into the upholstery business?
There you go.
Yeah.
And you've been doing this for a long time, so take us back to how that all came
yeah,
about.
Yeah, my dad opened it in 1974, his upholstery shop, and I was 6 years old, and I started sweeping those floors and learning about it and falling in love with it.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So as a kid, obviously, I mean, you get involved in the shop, a shop, and then what's the progress between sweeping the floors, maybe getting a job, you know, doing one thing, the next thing? How did that work into opening your own place?
Well, basically, you work up to it. You know, you work to an installer. You're installing for the trimmers. You know, the trimmers are the guys who sew and all that.
Right.
And then you work up to be a trimmer, and then pretty much, you know, once you're a trimmer, you think you know it all at least, and
yeah.
You know, and you want to open your own shop.
Nobody knows as much as an apprentice.
You know, oh.
They know more than everybody on the planet.
But, you know, then you're craving your own place and,
yeah.
You know, and your own ideas. And
so is this your first shop of your own?
No.
So
no.
How did, what, tell us about that one.
Well, I took over my father's shop and
okay.
He ran it till 93.
No, and so as long as we're here, yeah. Was that was in this market?
No, that was in California.
Okay, so what was the name of that place?
Aviato Upholstery.
Okay, and what? Where
it's
was
from
it?
The Antelope Valley. Yeah,
got it. Okay, Antelope Valley, very cool.
Yes.
Well, that's neat. I want to hear more for sure, but we got a break coming up.
The Windshield View. We'll be right back with more with the Mr. Bum Whitson.
That's right.
With Horsepower Chrome and Rust,
we shall return. Count on it. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are. We're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. And let's get back to the conversation with Bum about upholstery, stereos, and some even other cool stuff that we were kind of talking about.
And about how he opened his first shop.
And we were talking about that, and you said that within 10 seconds. You said, well, my dad started a shop, and I grew up, and that's it. Yeah, but Bum, you didn't just go from 6 years old to, let's just say, your mid-30s and start your own company.
Let's right. Yeah, let's say you're the
yeah,
mid-30s.
Yeah, let's
so,
say that.
So I want to know, you've been up here for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And traditionally, as anybody knows, you start out working for someone else, and then you transition to having your own shop.
Yeah.
You came up working for another company, and now you've transitioned to having your own shop. What sets your shop apart from everybody else?
Well, I just, I think we can do it cleaner, better, and more affordable. I've been seen some prices around that that I just can't believe they charge what they charge for the jobs. You know, I like money too, but I want to do the customer, you know, a good service for an affordable price.
Is there different grades of upholstery? Because, you know, I'm going to be redoing my El Camino, and I was online looking at one of the aftermarket parts companies, and I can get all the saddle colored matching everything that's going to supposed to go back into my cab. If I brought it to someone like you, what is the difference? Or do you just say, well, yeah, we'll go for it? Or do you do mostly custom versus OEM?
That's the thing. You know, I wanted to open up and really do custom upholstery. You know, we say that, you know, custom upholstery doesn't come in a box, you know, that anyone can order and slip on someone else's seat covers.
Sure.
You know, since I've been doing this my whole life, I'm a trained custom upholsterer. You know, I want to do it my own way, and I would, you know, and satisfy the customer in their own imaginations.
Well, so I hate to kind of say it this way, but every time somebody sits in one of your seats, they're going to think about, you know, the guy that made them, and if it's comfortable, we spend an inordinate amount of time in our cars. And if I sit down there and if it's comfortable, if I'm enjoying, you basically, a seat should be so comfortable that you don't know it's there.
Yeah.
You know, it should be an extension of you. And if I'm going to take off and drive to Idaho or California or wherever I'm going to go, it should be a comfort thing as opposed to I got to fight the thing the whole way. Years ago, I had British cars, and they are fun and funky and sporty and all that kind of stuff, but they're kind of known for having the worst seats on the planet. And, you know, having a good supportive seat, lumbar, all that other kind of stuff. That's why race seats cost so much money, because they're essentially custom made.
Yep.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was going to ask in terms of making a seat, I know you can make leather, you can make vinyl, you make cloth.
Sure.
Obviously, you do all of those. I'm assuming maybe there's other, you know, materials that you use. I'm sure there's a cost difference between those.
Oh, yeah.
But is there a construction difference as well?
Well, just like leather breathes.
Right.
Vinyls don't. You know, stuff like that. I mean, you know, that people don't really think about.
Oh, I want to talk. Okay, explain that. Because that's why my leather seats are probably always deteriorating, because I don't take care of them right.
Well,
leather also absorbs body oils and stuff like that quicker. And, you have to keep them conditioned, you know, especially leather. Any kind of dry will ruin it.
Okay, so because I have the ones that came in my 2000 Astro van in the captain chairs and everything, and they're leather. And I'm always getting brittle, and they're starting to... And it's like I clean everything else, but I don't think about conditioning it.
Yeah, you have to.
Okay, so that is actually something I should be doing on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Okay, you've convinced me.
Do they still make Naugahyde seats? Does anybody still use Naugahyde?
They make Naugahyde still.
Do they?
Yes. Yeah.
Because
it's one of the best vinyls per se. Out
is it?
There. Yes.
Oh.
The only reason I ask is when I used to have a 63 Chevy Impala, and it had Naugahyde seats.
Sure.
And the joke was, well, how many Naugas did you have to kill to make the seats in these things? Because they're hard to find. They live way up in the mountains, you know.
That's but, like snipe.
I have one in my shop.
Or a stuffed Naugahyde. Rainier Beers.
Yeah.
The Rain Beers.
But obviously the joke was the joke, but it's really a pretty forgiving material, because even though it's a synthetic, but it actually, well, in my experience is it breathes pretty well. Even in the summer, I didn't get stuck to the seat like you can on some, you know, the plastic stuff is, you know, it's that way. Given your choice, if somebody said, hey, I want a custom seat for my whatever it is, I want it to look like leather, maybe I want it to be leather. If you had a choice, if they said, here, just take this and build it out of the best material for this kind of seat, what does that look like? Do you have a recommendation that you would give?
you know, it depends, you know, what you're going to do with it. You know, I can do amazing things with leather. You know, it is, you know, it was living at one time.
Sure.
You know, so the hides are so adaptable. They can just, they form like no vinyls ever can.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
We have a lot of people who listen to the show and our show friends, too, who have show cars. I mean, people that,
sure.
These guys, they don't even rarely drive them. Is there a material that's more commonly used in that kind of vehicle, or is it just kind of what they want in terms of the look?
It's basically what they want when it comes to show cars. Yeah. It's all the look.
So how there do was, you take... Go ahead.
There was a car at the Seattle Roadster Show that was all done in Ostrich.
Ostrich.
Ostrich. Yeah. It was just amazing. That just the interior alone was probably $40,000 just
for
the Ostrich that they used in this car.
Sure.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was a 57 Chevy gold color, kind of like the wall there.
Yeah.
Kind of a tan gold color. It was a beautiful car, beautiful upholstery.
I had a pair of Ostrich cowboy boots one time, and I don't want you to know what they cost me, but they were wonderful boots.
And I've seen that done on motorcycles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That tends to be
before?
A very...
Oh, yeah. Especially in motorcycles and stuff like that.
And it's a durable. I mean, it's very durable, isn't it?
What's the most exotic material you ever made a seat out of?
Probably alligator.
Alligator.
Oh, yeah.
Would that be comfortable?
You know, it's more
I don't know.
It's more for the looks, you know.
Yeah.
Like sitting on a shoe.
Well,
and,
there's
you know,
part of the alligator that's
real
pretty
ones, they're
ridge,
not very smooth.
You know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're not very smooth.
Yeah.
Well I want to back up with the leather.
Yeah.
Where do you go to get the dyed? Because people, let's say, might have a car and they want to have purple and orange and whatever stitched together and a logo put in there and stuff.
Have you met my wife?
No, I'm thinking about myself.
I'm pretty sure.
Look, my El Camino is going to be brought back to stock.
Yeah,
but
if I had
a second one, it would be totally blown out and I would have a lot of purple in it.
Do you do your own dye or is that something you...
How do you get that?
No. Basically, it's all our suppliers.
Got it.
So you'll order up and say, do you have like a Pantone match or whatever they're using that you guys used?
They can do it. Yeah. Enough money.
There you go. When you say enough money, what would...
Yeah.
You could buy the bolt, right? That's you're going to buy the bolt of leather?
Leathers are... You buy by the hide.
Okay, by the hide.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, okay, we're going to do the front seats and we're going to do the back seats.
Right.
How many hides might go into something like that?
Leather, good leather hide is normally 45 square feet. Yeah. So, you know, you basically, to do a full car, front and rear with the door panels, you're probably looking around 3.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you would order it, let's say, in the purple.
Yep.
And then you might get some other in the orange. That could take X amount of time, right? Because it's not something they're just going to pull off the shelf.
Right. And then they can perforate it if you want it perforated. They can do all that, you know.
Cool.
Oh, perfect. Like venting? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yep.
Oh, so they'll do that for you
before
you get it.
Oh, yeah. So same thing with the dashboard. Not everybody pads dashboards these days, but there are, you know, upholstered dashboards.
Sure.
My 55 Oldsmobile is padded.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
And you would, in order to do that, you'd have to pull the dash, I guess, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You couldn't possibly
do
it in a car. Yeah.
So talk about that when you take a dashboard off.
Yeah, it's
there's involved some bolts,
money,
and some money.
Yeah,
and time.
It's a lot of time. I recommend, you know, the guys that are, you know, that are doing it themselves to bring me the dash because because it gets
pulling
involved.
All the gear and the gauges and everything else. That's a lot of just man hours.
Yeah.
Well, you got the dash
Ron
pad.
Knows.
I know.
You got the pad on the top. That's one part, but you're saying they actually will do the dash itself.
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. There's kind of no place to stop.
And then the center console, I've seen that.
Yeah,
sure.
And you mold it around, and then all of a sudden you've got this beautiful all. I mean, I'm thinking you could take a 60s Jag and do a little bit of work on it, and then do some kind of a nice, I don't know, just real rich. Cordovan
leopard.
Now all of a sudden,
you know,
Ricardo Montalban.
Leather, you know, very vintage looking leather that would be very rich in there. And you could do something like that.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't talked about this, but we should. Where's your shop?
It is 15701 Highway 99.
All right.
Linwood,
that is in
Washington.
Linwood, which is just north of Seattle, if you're listening to this. From
and if you want about 99,
here,
it goes from Canada border all the way down to Mexico.
Well, more importantly, you can go on Facebook and go to Custom Fit upholstery, and you could find his place. And you do out-of-state orders and stuff if somebody was to send you stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how many people you got working for you right now?
We have four.
Four, and they each are specialized
They're
in different things?
They're all specialized, absolutely.
And then do you bring in a crew if you have something that's, like, unusual to do and you got contractor guys you bring in?
I will, yeah. I've been known to do that, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of guys specialize, and, you know, I go for the best. You know, I want the best working on all my projects.
So if you're going to try to save money and you're not – okay, back this up. So if a company wants to charge more and they want to cut corners – what typically is going to be where they're going to cut corners? Is it material? Is it because companies are trying to make up profit somewhere.
Right.
What do you see? Because you said you want to have a higher quality at a reasonable rate. So what are you going to, where do you see people typically, and we're not naming names, but you've been around it for 40 years, so.
It's basically they're having people do stuff that they shouldn't, that they're not trained in, and they're pushing them to do something, you know, whether it comes out good or not, just to get the almighty dollar.
Instead of using quality foam, they're using little grass clippings from the backyard.
Well, there are foam and everything else, you know, just like anything. It you know, it has a scale, and you know, you want the high end or you want the low.
I mean, you know, I remember back in the day where they used to talk about going and down and getting south of the border, they would get their tuck and roll upholstery done, and it looked okay to come back, and it was stuffed with newspapers and whatever they had laying around in the shop. And like,
oh wow,
sure you can get it done for $400, but you know what are you getting?
Yeah, there's
you
always know. One of those, but
yeah, well, you get what you pay for. You know, it's true. Yeah. So, upholstery, stereos.
Custom.
Yeah.
Custom. He does custom.
Right. What else do you do?
Window tint.
I cannot tell you how often I have seen guys driving and parked with really bad window tints. You know, the ripply things and the deal that's pulling up in the corners and the spider webby and all that. It's just, and I always think to myself, why didn't you take a little extra time or find somebody who knew how to do that?
Yeah.
So it didn't look like it was, you know, plastered on there by your 6-year-old with a crayon. What's the secret to getting a good tint?
Because
I know you
Donnie.
Do it. Yeah, well, but I mean, I know you do it, but what's the secret to making it look good?
You know, it's basically all in the tint.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, there's so many variables and, you know, variations of the tint. Some, you know, I'm not mentioning any brands or anything, but, you know, some shrink and, you know, Donnie can shrink the, you know, rear window real easily. Some just doesn't. Some burns. Some turns purple in the sun.
Oh,
some,
really?
You know, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is actually like a Mylar.
It's not Mylar.
Not
but
Mylar,
yeah,
but
it's carbon.
It's carbon.
Yeah.
Filament that goes over the top of your thing, right?
Yeah. We offer ceramic also. That's very high end. It blocks even more of the UV.
Is that actually something you apply that you spray on, or is that still a rollout kind of thing?
No, this is a rollout.
Wow.
Yeah.
For those people who've ever tried to put a screen protector on your cell phone. Yourself.
Yeah.
All you got to do is try to do that once, and you realize why. You take it to the guy that knows how to do it, because it just comes off.
Do they even have...
Yeah.
I know with eyeglasses, you can get polarization. It changes when it's dark. It's normal. When it's light, it does it.
Yeah.
Have they ever have anything like that for cars?
I've never seen it.
I just came up with
a
new billion dollar
custom
idea.
Glass.
Photo-sensitive windshield.
But see, but when you're out in the daylight... It would always be dark.
Yes.
The light doesn't change, and as it got darker and darker,
the windows
would get lighter.
Yeah.
Right.
Very James Bond.
You're onto something there.
Very Daniel Craig.
So is Donnie a brother, or what's Donnie in the
Yeah, he's my brother, and he's been tinting windows about 20 years.
Awesome.
Oh, very good.
I wanted to offer it up here, and I called him, and
yeah.
You know, he was in a place where he could come help me build the shop and, you know, do his thing.
Before here you were in California.
Yeah.
Window tinting down there must be huge.
It is. It is.
Compared to here.
I'm sure.
Donnie actually tinted in my shop in California also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have somebody that knows what's happening because, like I say, you see so many that aren't done well. It's a pleasure to see one that is done well. I I wish we had more time to talk about this stuff, but what we will do is make sure that everybody knows where you're at. We're going to put your address and your Facebook stuff on our page. Of course, it'll go along with this as well. Thanks for coming by.
You got it.
It's just great to have you here. It's always a pleasure to promote a local business.
It is. Well, you're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and a great hot rod story you can share with your friends is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
It's time for Cars Confidential and a new story from Friends, Fins, and... Nope.
Friends, Scratch Fins, that. And Fenders.
Fenders, Fins, and Friends.
Frienders, Fins, and...
Fins, Fenders. Friends, and Fenders.
Fenden, Friends, and...
You know, I think he did that on purpose. He's like just three slick, slimy snakes slowly slithering southward.
The, wow.
Or, the Swedish
Fenders,
chef.
Fins, and Friends. Flurn thank you. Let rip, Brady.
I love this. Lance Lambert has been very kind to let us read stories from his book, Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confessions of a Car Guy. Lance knows somebody who's a car guy, apparently.
Well, they're confessions from something.
Confessions from something. I think this is his way of purging out his youthful indiscretions.
Well, no doubt. This one especially may be an indiscretion because it's called Hot Pursuit.
Yes.
It takes talent.
Oh, I don't know. He says, I admit it, I'm a police officer wannabe who thinks cops and the cars they drive are cool. This may be due in part to my father being a veteran of the Tacoma, Washington Police Department, and during my childhood, he would occasionally pick me up from school or drop me off at a friend's house in various police cars, handcuffed to the bumper. No. A few times I was allowed
the bumper.
Right. A few times I was allowed to push the horn ring, causing the siren to howl on his 1950s era police cruiser. My passion for old cars, police cars included, is probably due in part to this early exposure, and for this reason I was very excited to attend an event recently that was specifically for emergency response vehicles. By the way, the Western Washington State Fair in Puyallup every year has a huge exhibit that the Washington State Patrol puts on down there. They got all their vehicles and all their stuff.
All right.
And we actually drew the attention of a State Patrol officer down there. My friend and I were walking by, and he stopped and walked over to the State Patrol car and fixed his eyes upon it and stared, you know, determinedly. And the deputy,
you're scaring me, Brady.
Yeah, the cop says, "Hey, see anything you like?" And my friend, without missing a beat, says, "Nah, I just like to know what I'm up against." The cop was unimpressed. The local chapter of the Emergency Vehicle Owners and Operators Association, the EVOOA, has a yearly event held this year in Ellensburg, Washington, and the owners of decommissioned law enforcement vehicles gather to kick tires, compare cars, and drive them like they're in hot pursuit of bad guys around a closed track. Several law enforcement agencies participate, and several active and retired police officers are members. So what do they do at these gatherings? Well, the first night was a meet-and-greet and eat function where food, laughter, and stories were enthusiastically shared and devoured. I felt totally accepted by the membership, perhaps due to my numerous stories of being a passenger in various police vehicles over the years, not always voluntarily. Mention of my father's tenure in blue likely also helped. Now, the second day started with several cars gathering at the local state patrol office for the beginning of a caravan to a nearby police driver training facility included in the lineup of black and whites, were a Los Angeles Police Department 1956 Chevrolet, a King County, Washington Sheriff 66 Plymouth, a California Highway Patrol 67 Dodge, a Seattle Police Department 68 Plymouth, and a Washington State Patrol 1990 Chevrolet. Sounds like a pretty good...
Yeah. Nice.
Not one of them had custom leather by Bum and Donnie's Custom
no,
Fit,
what
however.
The heck?
I don't know. It's just a thing. They would have been better had they... Well... they were all greeted at the driving facility located in Ellensburg Airport by two Ellensburg police officers whose job it was to instruct us in the proper way to navigate the course. We first rode as passengers, and they drove around the orange cones in contemporary Ford police cars. They had wisely decided that, despite our enthusiasm for the idea, we would not be allowed to drive these new police cars. We were, however, encouraged to take the various antique law enforcement vehicles through the course. My driving began in the Highway Patrol 67 Dodge. The first problem was this non-power steering. This is a real arm buster, required arms more developed than mine. The second and larger problem was the horn ring. The damaged, or the dang thing was always in the way as I tried to muscle the steering wheel in one direction or another. It's because you're not supposed to cross your hands when you're doing that, Lance. The owner... you ever tried it? Never mind. The owner stated this was the way the car was originally equipped when it was a commissioned pursuit vehicle. Somewhere in the world, there are a few police officers with early arthritis due to the constant collisions with this ring of terror. When I returned the car and commented on the difficulty in steering, I got an offer to drive a Washington State Patrol 1990 Chevrolet. What a giant difference. Well, no kidding, Batman.
Yes. Jeez.
Holy horn ring, Batman.
Yeah, the state trooper had no similar horn ring. It was much easier to maneuver. It's also much more powerful. And some of the conditions that were hard to deal with in the old Dodge were very easy to overcome in the 23 years newer vehicle. Well, what a surprise. An officer offered to take me along as he drove through the nearby high-speed course in a new Washington State Patrol vehicle. The first time through, he drove slowly as he explained what common mistakes were made during high-speed driving, owners taking too wide a turn or too tight or frequently too fast. Then he went through the course to illustrate the improper driving. Now, there was a lot of tire howling, and he stated that the more howling, the more the car is trying to go sideways rather than straight ahead. Then he went through the course the correct way and maneuvered around with ease and a lot faster. After the track action, we were given a great presentation by a group of firefighters who fly helicopters in their efforts to extinguish forest fires. We know about that from this year. And the caravan drove to several tourist stops, visited an impressive private collection of restored 1950s non-police cars, and finished with a barbecue at one of the members' homes. Including with the burgers were a lot of stories shared by members about past police vehicle-related adventures. I, of course, shared with them my newly acquired driving skill that will no doubt result in me being never asked to become an emergency vehicle driving instructor. I was sitting by the phone waiting for the call. It hasn't rung yet. Lance has some great stories in here.
I gotta
actually share one of my own.
Yes.
Years ago, I was doing some promotion for the American Honda Motorcycle Dealers Association, and I flew to Japan on a vacation. But as part of the deal, I rode off 2 days because we went out to the Honda race facility in a little town just outside of Osaka.
Right.
And they were very, very nice, polite. They took us to the test track, Suzuka Circuit, which is where the Japanese Grand Prix is done.
Oh, yeah.
And the cop, the motorcycle cops there use that as a training course. And in addition to riding their full-bore cruiser loaded up, you know, bagger bikes around this thing at ridiculous speeds, they had an agility course. And if you haven't ever seen a guy on a motorcycle go diagonally across railroad ties at speed, ride through gravel up to the wheel hubs and not fall over, and then ride down essentially a railroad tie about 40 feet
wow.
at a walking speed, just ride along dead straight. And I found out halfway through this that if they don't pass, they have to do this every 6 months, all of them. And if they don't pass, they don't get to be motorcycle cops until they take it again, and they can't take it for another 6 months.
Wow.
And it's like,
I think that's
well,
a little
okay.
steeper than what we'd have here.
Oh, it is.
And
then
the guys that I went to was a motorcycle cop rodeo, and they
yeah.
had it up at the the local casino, and I went up there
yeah,
this is a number
amazing.
Of years ago, and they're doing the pylons, and they're whipping
yeah.
around it and doing all this kind of stuff. But it's interesting. Each country has their own standards,
oh, yeah.
and it sounds like if they're riding on a tie for 40, man.
I was duly impressed.
I would be totally impressed.
And at that point, I'd been riding motorcycles for 30 years.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay, you guys
okay.
win. I give up.
Hands down.
Yeah, I can't beat it.
Amazing.
So there's all kinds of stories in Fenders, Fins, and Friends. Lance has a couple of other books, too, and you can find them on the Vintage Vehicle Show website. You can also get them on Amazon. Lance needs the money, so buy a book and, you know, give one for a friend and everything, because he's old, and he sits in his garage looking at his radio collection and his neon lights, and, you know, he could really use the help.
Yes, yes, he can. That's so funny.
Listening to his cars.
Listening to his cars, yes.
Well,
Henry Hillman.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's super. Hey, we're going to have a couple of things. The trivia question is coming up, of course, and we got actually a new trivia question in the next segment that if you are a fan of the origins of our hobby, you will be impressed with this. And if you're not, then you won't be impressed with it, and that's kind of the way this segment sort
well,
of goes.
Speaking
anyway,
of hobbies, there's a big guy named basketball star by the name of Michael Jordan.
Yes.
He and his partner, Denny Hamlin,
that's
have
right.
gone together, and they
becoming
are
owners.
Now be the owner of a single car
one of the owners.
NASCAR race
yeah.
team.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah,
they're
cool.
going to have their
they're
buddy.
They're having Bubba Wallace drive.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. So
yeah.
it's cool.
Cool.
I love seeing people like that come into the sport.
That's awesome.
Do what you gotta.
The Nathan Lipinski trivia question is next. Put it in park. Stick around.
We'll be here. We promise.
Right here.
That's a threat.
We're not going anywhere.
No, we're not.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy. Which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Steve's little tribute to himself and his hobby it is. Every show.
He's
we love
the
this
man,
part.
The El Camino favorite. Man.
Yeah, someday we're going to actually take his car apart and start fixing it for
that's
him.
Yes. Right.
We're going to do that. All right. Well, this is Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about upcoming events and stuff. And, ladies and gentlemen, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question, which last week we threw down, and Nathan stepped up, ladies and gentlemen. Nathan knew what was everybody knows about the Cord. The Cord automobile was way ahead of its time, front wheel drive, all kinds of cool stuff. And the guy who came up with the Cord was a gentleman named E.L. Cord. And he had a job while he was making some of these cars. I mean, it wasn't necessarily what you think it might be. And we asked what was his job while he was making them. And Nathan, being the Google Meister that he is, came up with it. It turns out that while he was making these Cords, he was actually the president of Auburn.
Wow.
He worked for the Auburn Car Company.
Oh, right.
And, you know, they were all kind of a division of General Motors / Cadillac. They produced some of the most advanced front-wheel drive, supercharged V8s. This is back in the late 30s and early 40s.
Right.
Beautiful cars.
Favorite of gangsters.
They were under his own name. Unfortunately, they were really expensive, and they came along at the start of the Depression, so kind of went away, but they still live in legend. So Nathan gets his own prize. He is the winner of the certificate for the official Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust, which, as everybody knows, if you take... Bum should know this. If you take this can of dust and you sprinkle it on one of the cars in your shop, people will think you found it in a barn. It'll be worth four times what... or not.
It's getting hard in here.
It's not like... What's
it's
actually
packed.
In that can?
It's packed.
Let's not even know.
No.
So the new question for this next week is a really good one. Everybody thinks they know this. Ron's playing with the poo again.
What? No, come on. Put that back over there.
Who is the founder of the modern automobile industry? Everybody thinks they know this, but it turns out maybe not. If you know, you can go to our website, you can go to our Facebook page, you can send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You could throw a rock through the window of my shop if you wanted, although I might throw something back. If you think you know, let us know. You too may have the certificate with your name on it put on our website saying that you answered the Nathan Lipinski Automotive Trivia Question for the week.
Well, you know, I love British mystery TV shows, and one of them is Poirot. And
yes,
in that one, it is placed right after World War II, or World War I.
Yes.
Between World War I and World War II.
Just before the Depression.
And I was watching an episode last night, and they're driving around in those cars. And you realize, over in Britain, there was a ton of cars, and they were smoking, you know, at the back end. And I'm like, I don't think about it because I didn't come from that. But by the 1920s and early 30s, and tons of cars.
In Europe.
It was huge. But I don't think about that.
Well,
but it's
the automobile industry was really, you know, as soon as you hit the teens.
That's right.
It was everywhere. Wanted to have a car. There's tons of manufacturers of cars that went away.
Yep.
Because they made, you know, 12 cars or they couldn't, you know, finance or whatever. And
a lot of coachmen, too.
Yeah, that's
Coach Builders.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then what's
Body by Fisher.
What's yes. cool about the shows is someone is having
Pinot
to source all those old cars for that those old British mysteries.
That's a whole cottage industry.
It is.
Yeah, people have, you know, collections, cars, movie cars. It's in fact, I think there's a company called Movie Cars.
There's actually two of them, and I'm in touch trying to get one of them to come on board to be an interview.
Have
them
bring the Batmobile.
I
want to drive it.
But, I mean, you think about, like, during the 70s, the big chase movies where they go through dozens and dozens dozens of cop cars.
You know,
the
movie car that I don't know if it was a movie car, maybe the original one. The one that I really want to drive is the original James Bond car, and I'm not talking about the Aston Martin. Bond originally drove a Bentley.
Ooh.
I want that one. Hey, we reach over 1 million auto enthusiasts every week. You're one of them, and we're glad you're there. Our archives are at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. Thanks to Bum for coming down and talking about custom-fit upholstery. The shirt is right here. Look closely into your screen and you'll see it. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Drive fast. Take risks. This is Horsepower Chrome and Rust. We'll be back next week.
Peace and love.